copying Vogel. I realize you want things done, but there's a chain of command, and I'd appreciate it if you'd stop emailing my staff and then CCing me later, Vogel wrote back. When Schneider returned from a trip, he summoned Vogel to his office. I'd appreciate it if you'd give up the title of president of Walt Disney Pictures, Schneider said. I can't get anything done. Peter, do you realize you're voiding my contract? Vogel asked. Yes, I know, but I hope you'll stay on at Touchstone. Thanks, but no, Vogel replied. He left and called Roth, who was out of the office. He reached him on his cell phone. Vogel told him what had just happened. No, Roth said, drawing out the vowel. Yes, Vogel replied, mimicking him. Roth said he'd call Schneider and call him back. Peter would like you to stay, Roth reported when he called Vogel back. Vogel cut him off. Joe, I'm gone. 2 weeks later, Vogel left. A few days later, he was at home when Eisner called. He was chuckling when Vogel got on the line. So, I just want you to know that you're a great executive. I mean, this happened to me at Paramount, and look how I ended up. So you'll be fine. Well, okay. Vogel couldn't resist adding, I've left you with two of Disney's biggest pictures, Inspector Gadget and The Sixth Sense. Then he hung up. Sacrificing Vogel was evidently the price Eisner had to pay to install Schneider as a watchdog on Roth. Two of Roth's movie projects in particular had aroused Eisner's suspicions. The first was a thriller about a whistleblower in the tobacco industry, The Insider, based on a story in Vanity Fair by journalist Marie Brenner. The second was the latest event movie from Jerry Bruckheimer, Pearl Harbor, an epic being directed by Michael Bay. Eisner had been hostile toward The Insider from its inception. One of the main characters in the true story, Lowell Bergman, was an investigative reporter and producer for CBS's long-running news magazine, 60 Minutes, and a central thrust of the article was that CBS had suppressed Bergman's work out of fear of offending the powerful tobacco industry. Eisner was appalled at the idea of a film that portrayed a rival news organization in a negative light. 60 Minutes will track us down forever, he warned Joe Roth. Roth thought that was ridiculous. The last thing CBS wanted was more publicity on the matter. And there were other reasons for The Insider that Roth found compelling. The project had attracted acclaimed director Michael Mann, Heat, The Last of the Mohicans, and screenwriter Eric Roth, who had written the successful, award-winning Forrest Gump. Mann was a personal friend of Bergman's and was passionate about the project. It was an opportunity to get both highly sought-after talents into further projects for Disney. Roth also thought the subject of big tobacco and the plight of a whistleblower was dramatic, urgent, and important. It was the kind of story that would help earn the kind of prestige that, apart from Miramax, had been conspicuously lacking at Disney. Despite Eisner's concerns, Roth greenlit the project. Eisner saw a rough cut and praised it, though he again stressed that any facts about CBS had to be accurate. The Insider opened in November 1999 and garnered lavish critical praise, especially for Russell Crowe's portrayal of whistleblower Dr. Jeffrey Wigand. But just as Eisner had feared, there was a storm of controversy.